I'm going to ask you this morning to take your Bibles and go to the book of Matthew, chapter number 13. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 13. I want you to look in verse number 24. Matthew chapter number 13 and verse number 24. When you have found Matthew 13, let's stand together as we honor the Word of God and we reverence this holy, holy book. In verse number 24, the Lord Jesus said, "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in this field. But while men slept, his enemy came in and sowed tares among the wheat. And went his way, but when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn." Now look over at verse number 36 of the same chapter. "Then Jesus sent the multitude away, and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil, the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." My Father, I pray it will be fresh. I pray the oil will flow freely. And I pray the Holy Ghost will move in hearts. Free us up. Holy Spirit, be here, for where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And I'll praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You be seated this morning. I was on my way to church this morning. The sun had come up. It had arisen in the sky, and we were on our way. As usual, we were running late because, let me just say, there has never, ever been a man that has been married to a woman and has two children that has ever been on time for anything. Amen. Never in one time can I ever plan on being on time. And all the women are looking at me funny, and all the men are looking at me scared. So I'll just say what you want to say, men. I was running late. My wife was driving. I was trying to gather my thoughts. We were flying low. The FAA called me on my cell phone and told us to slow it down. But on my way into the church, like many of you, I live in the county. I was living in the county, and I drive into the city to go to church. And as I was driving in, everywhere that I look in the county, there are fields that are ready for the harvest. Everywhere I look, soybeans ready for the harvest. Everywhere I look, tobacco's ready for the harvest. Everywhere I look, the corn is ready for the harvest. And in some places, there were even people working in those fields. It was the same time of year that our Lord looked into the fields of Israel. He was there in Galilee, which is a farming town by the Sea of Galilee. As he looked out, he saw the fields and he says, "Boys, come near me. I want to tell you a story." And he tells this story of the tares and the wheat. Remember, Jesus in Matthew chapter number 13 is beginning a brand new section of Scripture. As I told you last week, the Jews have denied the Lord Jesus Christ as the physical king of Israel. They have said, we do not want you. We do not want your message. We do not want your gospel. We don't want anything about you. So Jesus turns to the people that are with him, and he begins to offer them a brand new kingdom. Except this kingdom is not a physical kingdom, but this kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. Remember, I told you at this setting, Jesus gives to us 10 different parables. 10, of course, is the number of the law. As Jesus here, though, if you look in Matthew chapter number 13, Matthew chapter number 13 is going to give to us 8 different parables. You will count out 8 different parables here in this chapter. And as you count them out, you think about numbers. As I think about numbers in the Bible, now you can go crazy with numbers, but it does represent certain things. There are 8 different parables. Remember, what is the number 8 the number of in the Bible? 8 is the number of new beginnings. God created the heavens and the earth in 7 days, and on the 7th day he rested, and on the 8th day was the beginning of a brand new week. In the 8th day, on the 8th day, what day was the little boys of Israel circumcised on? They were circumcised on the 8th day. 8 is the number of new beginnings. Now, as I looked at this, you can go crazy with some of this stuff, but I'm just going to stop and start and go right here. I got to looking something up, and I verified this. I did the math myself. In English, our alphabet is different than Hebrew alphabet and Greek alphabet. Greek alphabets have, the Greek alphabet has, with every letter, alpha, beta, gamma, delta, so on and so forth, they have numerical equivalents. For instance, alpha, the first letter, it equals 1. Every time you see alpha, that would represent the number 1. Beta, it equals 2, so on and so forth. Some numbers represent 1. Some numbers, they represent as much as 100 or 200. If you take the name Jesus in the Greek, it begins with the letter iota, and it ends with the letter sigma. As you take the name Jesus in the Greek, if you take every letter and give its numerical equivalent, it equals up, as you gather all of those letters together, it will equal up to the number 888. 2 or 3 8s. 888. Why is that important? Do you remember in the book of Revelation? What is man's number? 666. What is God's number? 777. Therefore, what is Jesus' number? It is 888. This is what we are trying to teach. You say, well, why would that matter? Do you remember who was it that told Mary to name Jesus, Jesus? It was none other than the angel who'd been given the message by God. Here's what God is saying, brothers and sisters. You can have as bad a back there as you want, but if you're ever going to have a brand new beginning today, it will come in and through one man, and that man is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. There are people here today that will disagree with me, and that is fine, my dear brother, my dear sister. I still love you. You still love me, and we'll still eat chicken at the Chick-fil-A tomorrow. But this is what you need to know. You need to know that whether you disagree with me about this or whether you disagree with me about that, there is one thing that we will never disagree on, and that is that Jesus Christ is the only name whereby men, women, boys, and girls can be saved by the grace of Almighty God. You may come up here and have come because of Tyler, but you'll go to hell believing in Tyler. You may have come up here because you have heard of Church Street, but you'll go to hell with a Church Street badge on. But honey, there's never been a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl that has ever gone to hell because of Jesus Christ, because anybody whose name is signed and sealed with Jesus Christ, they're heaven-bound, honey, with the hammer down. They couldn't go to hell if they wanted to. And Jesus is the only way that you and I will ever be saved. But he gives here this parable of the tares and the wheat. So I'm just going to take you through the story, going to tell you what it means, and just give you a little message today. Here is the story of the parable of the tares and the wheat. In the parable, Jesus says there is a farmer, there is a sower. And this sower goes out one day, and he has in his hands a pocket full of good seed. Now, don't confuse the parables and don't confuse the meanings of the parables. One parable doesn't mean what the other one means, and the other one doesn't mean what it means. In this parable, he takes good seed and he sows it in the field. The Bible says at the end of that sowing that he goes into his house
and he tells his servants, servants, it's your time to go out there and to watch the field. The servants had no job. They were not there to sow. They were not there to reap. They were not there to labor. Their one job was to watch and make sure the enemy did not destroy the crop. Well, the Bible says that the servants, the night comes and the servants get tired and the servants go to sleep. As the servants are asleep, the Bible tells us that the enemy of that harvester or of that laborer or that sower comes into the field, and instead of sowing wheat in the field, he takes what is called to you and I a tare, or what is called a darnel seed, and he sows that seed in that field. He sows tares among the wheat. And as he is sowing the tares among the wheat, they grow there, or they're planted there. Now, here's the problem with the tares among the wheat. As they're planted, the seeds look identical. As they begin to shoot up, the blades look identical. It is not until the middle of that harvesting time or the middle of that growing season that you can begin to tell any difference about it. So I want you to imagine this. Those men get up that next morning and they're so excited because they can't see foot tracks. They can't see footprints. They can't see problems. And the field all looks the same. But what they don't know is that growing beneath the surface of that soil, there is a seed that does not belong there. There is a plant that is going to do damage there. There is something that is not going to survive with the wheat there. So it tells us that the time goes on, and honey, that the shoots start coming up out of the ground, and the harvester or the servants look at that thing and they say, my God in heaven, what has happened? They said an enemy has come in the night and has sown tares among the wheat. Boy, those men, they say, they go to the sower and they say, sir, what are we going to do about this? What are we going to do about these tares among that wheat? What are we going to do about this? They said, do you want us to go out there and pluck up the tares and rip them out of the field? He said, no, don't do that, because if you go out there right now and as you are working around trying to pull the tare up, you may accidentally mess up a wheat plant. In your ripping up of the tare, you may destroy some of the wheat. They said, well, what's going to happen? He said, just give it time, honey. Just give it time. He said, because the day is going to come whenever the reapers are going to go out in that field and they're going to take their sickle and they're going to separate the tares from the wheat. They're going to take the tares, they're going to bundle them up, and they're going to throw them into the fire. On the other side, they're going to take the wheat, and they're going to bundle it up, and they're going to take it back to the Father's barn, and in the Father's barn, it will be what it is supposed to be. They say, man, this is great. But I want you to notice there in verse number 31 as you look in your Bible. In the seed and the sower, Jesus immediately gives to them a brand the explanation of that illustration. But in verse number 31, he moves to another parable. He does not explain this to the multitudes. He does not explain this to the crowds. Because in verse number 36, you'll see, Jesus sends the multitude away, and he went into his house, and there he explained the parable of the wheat and the tares. You say, preacher, why is that? Here is why. Because this world is not going to accept the entire gospel. This entire world, we can labor and we can labor and we can labor, but the fact of the matter is there are always going to be people that reject the message of Jesus Christ. There is nothing you and I can do about it. As long as there is a devil, there are going to be children of the devil. But this is what I do know, honey. I do know that there is a great lesson to be learned in this, and let me give it to you. Look there in verse number 37. In verse number 37, Jesus says, all right, boys, I want you to come close. I want you to hear what I've got to say. I want you to listen to what I'm going to tell you. I want to tell you all about the parable of the tares. He says there in verse number 37, he says, you remember that sower? He said, that sower, he that soweth the good seed, that is the Son of Man. That man that's out there sowing that seed, that's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. That is none other than God Himself in the flesh. That is none other than the rose of Sharon and the sweet lily of the valley. That is none other than the Creator God and the mover of God and the glory of God and the grace of God and the heaven of heavens and all that God has in Jesus Christ. He says in verse number 38, he says, if the Son of Man is the sower, then the field that he sows in, that is the world. Then he says, those good seed, those wheat plants are the children of the kingdom. And those tare plants are the children of the what? The wicked one. So basically you got this. You got people who do believe and people who don't believe. That's what the difference is. Wheat plants, believers. Tare plants, unbelievers. All right? Then you've got in verse number 39, who is the enemy? The enemy that sowed them is the who? The devil. The harvest is the what? That's the end of the world. That's the judgment time. All right? Who are the reapers? Who are the ones that go out there and separate the wheat from the tares? It says in verse number 39, the reapers are the angels. So we have there seven different types. Jesus says there's seven illustrations. He says there's a sower, that's the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. The bad seed are the children of the evil one. He says the judgment time, the harvest time. He says the reapers, those are the angels. And he says the enemy is the devil. So why is Jesus going to give this to his disciples? Why is he telling, what is he trying to teach through this parable of the wheat and the tares by the grace and by the help of God, Holy Ghost, help me to give it to the people. He says this, boys, he says, this is what I want you to know. He says, I want you to know first and foremost that one day those tares are planted. He said, the day is going to come that those tares are going to be out in that field. He said, the day is going to come in this world and among the people of God. He said, in the house of God and among the people of God, those tare plants are going to grow up. Those tare plants are going to spring up. He said, there's nothing you can do about it. He said, because they didn't come from you, but who gave it to them? They came from the devil. They came from the diablos. They came from the enemy of our soul, the deceiver. They came from Jesus' adversary, the enemy of our soul. Honey, here is the problem with those tares. The problem with those tares is that they are not wheat. The problem with those tares is that if you ground them up and if you bake them and if you eat them, those darnel seeds, they will make you drunk. They were poison. They can even make a man so drunk, they can make him stupor so much that many men have fallen and hit their head and has done so much damage because of these tares. They're poisonous. You don't know what they are. You don't know what they look like until you tear them apart and see the seed on the inside. Brothers and sisters, may I tell you what is the most dangerous thing in all of this world? It is not the homosexual crowd. It is not the Democrats in Washington. It is not the Republicans in Washington. The biggest problem in America is the fact that there are so many tares inside of the house of God. The biggest problem that we have is not that the White House has no power. The biggest problem we have is that the pulpits in America have no power. The biggest problem we have is not going to be who's in the White House. The biggest problem we have is who's taking up residence in the church house, and the church house has no power. You saying, don't vote. Dear God in heaven, can we stop going down the political pathways for just a second and say the biggest problem that the people of God have is to make sure that we are in line with the God of heaven, and when we're in line with the God of heaven, we'll have no problem figuring out what to do down here. But here is my problem. God's not called me to the political arena. So if you're a politician, God bless you. I'm glad you are. Hear what thus saith the Lord God. Jesus said that if the tares are in the field, they'll do damage to the wheat plants. If the tares are in the field, they'll do damage to the harvest. You know why? Because when people eat that and when people partake of that, they are poisoned from the moment that it's in their body. Here's the problem with having tares inside of the house of God. Do you know why? Because there are little children that come in the house of God, and there are little children that will come into the places of worship, and there are unsaved people that come into the house of God, and they come in among the people of God, into the place where God is supposed to be God, and Jesus is supposed to be Lord, and the Word of God is supposed to be law, and they come in, and they just say, boy, this is great, this is wonderful, and they just start cutting down a bunch of stuff and start partaking of what they don't realize if they just got a big old dose of tare religion, and now they can't figure out. I'm more confused than I was before I went into that place. I'm more messed up than I was before I even heard that preacher. I'm so messed up right now. I don't know which way's up. I don't know which way's down. Do you know why? Because the houses of worship that people are walking into, they've been run by tare preachers. They've been run by tare deacons. They've been run by tare boards. They've been run by tare members. You know what the biggest problem is, honey? The biggest problem in this world is the fact that we've got powerless preachers and we've got passionless preachers, and they stand up. You know why they stand up? They stand up and they're not saved. They've never been born again. They do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Honey, they stand up and they just pump out a bunch of feel good, no good sugar stick religion. They just stir your spiritual coffee with a sugar stick, and then they can't figure out why you've got diabetes spiritually. They can't figure it out. They say, well, I changed the sugar. It's not sugar anymore. It's Splenda. Well, Splenda may not give you diabetes, honey, but it'll kill you with cancer. This is what I know. We need some old-fashioned preachers that'll give it to you hot and black and will say, this is the real way. This is the good stuff. And this is the way that you are supposed to live. We need some salt stick Christians that say, it may not taste good, it may not look good, but if the salt count in your body goes down and the sugar levels go high, you're going to be so drunken and so stuporous. I'm not here to throw sticks or throw rocks or cast stones, but here's what I am telling you, that our nation needs some old-fashioned leather lung, some people that will stand up and say, I don't care what they say, I don't care what you say, I don't care if you like it, I don't care if you lump it or bump it, this is what God said, and we're going to do what God said, because we don't need tares in the house of God, we need wheat plants that people can eat. Now, here's another problem with tares. Another problem with tares is that as they grow, they choke out the soil around the wheat. And the wheat will never grow as high as it could have if the tares weren't there. The biggest blunder that you and I have is the fact that we are trying to grow wheat while trying to feed tares. You cannot feed wheat tare meat. You cannot feed tare meat wheat. You have got to give wheat what it needs, and you've got to get rid of tares. Ladies and gentlemen, all over this country, all over this nation, all over this world, there are churches that have brought in fogging or fog machines. I'm so old-fashioned, I don't even know what those things are called. And they've got spotlights, they got this, they got, look, I'm not against technology. I've got an iPhone. I've got an iPad. My wife watches TV, and she even wears britches, so say amen right there. I'm not talking about being stupid. I'm not talking about being crazy. I'm talking about being right with a holy God and knowing that God's way is the only way. Dear God, my wife's got purple hair. That just hit me. Say amen right there. I grow beards, Brother Bob. I wear flip-flops at my house. I mow my yard. I'm telling you, I'm not talking about crazy, stupid stuff. I'm talking about what the Bible says, and we've brought in things in our houses of worship, and we've got a bunch of tares running the show, and we can't figure out, all the sinners like it, but nobody's becoming a saint. All the world likes it, but God's puking sick over the thing. You know why it is? It's because tares are shooting up all over the places of worship. They're shooting up all over the houses of worship, and we can't figure out. That's the problem with the tares. But let's say this. Where did the tares come from? How did they get in the house of God? Here's what you need to know about a tear. Because I know some of you are sitting here thinking, dear God, I hope he doesn't think I'm a tear. I hope he doesn't think. It doesn't matter what I think. It only matters what God thinks. But this is what I know about a tear. A tear knows it's a tear and knows it's not wheat. Wheat knows it's wheat and knows it's not a tear. It may not be as big as the wheat beside it. It may not be as great as the wheat across the way, but it knows it's wheat and it knows it's not a tear. On the flip side, a tear may try to grow higher than the wheat, but it knows at the end of the day, a tear is a tear is a tear is a tear. You say, what are you talking about? This is what I know. There are people that come in the house of God, and they're not going to listen to what the gospel says. They're not going to respond to the word of God. They're not going to heed what the preacher says about the things of God. But this is what they're going to do. They're going to slide in, get a Bible, and read a Bible. You realize tare can read a Bible just like wheat can read a Bible. They're going to come down to the altar, and they're going to pray a little bit. But when they go out, they're going to come as they were, leave as they are, and they're never going to be changed by the grace of God. Ladies and gentlemen, here is that issue. Here is the problem with the tares. You realize how the tares got there? The tares got there because while the people of God were asleep, the devil came in and changed this whole thing. While we were out trying to pump up our IRAs and get our bigger paychecks and get lake houses and boat houses and jet ski houses, while we were trying to ride 15 Harleys when we only can ride one Harley, and while we were trying to have 19 cars when we can only drive one, and if you drive like me and my wife, you don't even need that. You need to take city transportation. This is what I know. While we were asleep on our spiritual assurance, with our eyes laid back, just laid back, cocked back, shut, the devil came into the house of God, and he turned this thing flipped upside down on its head, and we can't figure out why there's no power. We can't figure out why people don't want to come anymore. We can't figure out why you got to pay them to come down the aisle, and then they can't figure out why is it I can come into a place like this, built 1967, and the people are this and that. There's white people, there's black people, there's young people, there's old people, there's middle-aged people, there's skinny people, there's good-looking people, there's ugly people, there's this person and there's that person, and they come. They got to run two services because people are coming. They got people coming this way. They got people. What is it about that? Here's what we know. When you build a church for wheat, wheat will come. But when you build a church for tares, not only will tares not come, but the wheat will run away, and you'll have to do everything in your power to keep them in that place. But this is the issue with those tares. The devil has come into the house of God, and the preachers have gotten lazy. Man, our preachers have no power. They have no passion. If people go to hell, they go to hell. Just hand me my paycheck and let me go eat some chicken for lunch. It doesn't matter if people burst into the charred walls of the dam. It doesn't matter if our babies... Never see the power of God. We don't care. You know why? Because so many of you are tares. You're a bunch of tares in the house of God. They don't care anymore. In our pews, there are tares. You say, where are the tares in the pews? Here are the tares in the pews. We go out of here, and they try to degrade everything the preacher has said. They try to degrade everything the choir has sung. They try to degrade everything the teachers have taught. They've said they're just a bunch of nobodies. They're just a bunch of people holding on to an old time this and an old time way. You say it, the tares are sown in our pews. They're sown in our pulpits, honey. They're sown in our Bible colleges. While we had our eyes shut trying to build bigger buildings and trying to build bigger this and bigger that, our godless professors have stood up in our Bible colleges, and our young men go in with Bibles. They don't have a lot of knowledge and they don't have a lot of wisdom, but they go into those Bible colleges and they lay that Bible down ready to eat and to drink of the milk and the meat of the Word. And those seminary professors that are so godless and unsaved and not right with God and are going to bust hell wide open, they get up there and they try to get those young men to doubt the Word of God and to doubt the inspiration of the Bible and to doubt the authority of the Word of God. And those young men, they get so... Do you know why? Because they've been given a loaf of bread that has been sown with tare weed, and they can't figure out why they're so... I've got friends right now I went to Bible college with to say that it is a shock that I am the one that is doing the most in my Bible college class. That is an absolute conundrum to me, that I am the one doing the most. Are you looking at me? I've got ADHD in every hole and crevice of my body, and I've got men that came into Bible college with me. They had more money than I did. Their daddies were preachers. They had more knowledge than I had. They had more opportunities than I had. But today, they're nowhere to be found. They don't even go to church. Do you know why? It's because of stuff like what I'm getting ready to tell you. I sat down in one of my Bible college classes, Bob. I sat down in that class. I opened up that Bible. When I was in, I didn't have time to be friends with him. I went to school. I learned. I went to work. I went home. I studied. I did the whole thing over and over again for 4 solid years. You say, why'd you do that? Because I didn't want to make it 5 years. Say amen right there. That's why I did it over and over and over. And honey, I'd open up my Bible, and this is what they said. They said, all right, your assignment today is you have to read the Bible in 2 other versions than what you normally read. I raised my hand. I said, Professor, I said, I'll read it. I said, but I cannot read that. I'm not reading that in another version. I said, my grandmama had a King James Bible. My preacher has a King James Bible. My deacons have King James Bibles. Everybody I know has King James Bible. I've got to read it in that. I don't want to be delving that. They said, you need to do it. You've got to do it, son. I said, sir, I said, I can't do it. I said, I have a conviction about this. I said, I believe this is the Word of God, and I believe that this is what my pastor would be pleased with. I cannot do it. He said, if you don't do it, son, he said, I will fail you in this assignment. I said, well, big boy, it won't be the first one I've ever failed, and it won't be the last one I've ever failed. You may as well go and put an F on that paper, because I'm not bending and I'm not bowing, not for you, not for them, not for this college. If I have to leave today, and if I have to work 15 jobs to put myself through an online online school. I'll put myself through an online school. I said, sir, I'm not trying to get out of this assignment. I said, I'll read it 15 times, upside, backside, inside, outside. I said, I'll read it backwards. I'll read it forwards. I'll read it up the page, down the page. I said, I'll do anything you can, but I will not bend and I will not bow on my convictions. Ladies and gentlemen, that man looked at me, and you know what he said? He said, okay, whatever you want to do is fine with me. Do you know why? Because they don't have a spiritual backbone. And when they find some man or woman of God that has a backbone, you cannot break a bull with a mosquito, but you can sure crush a mosquito with a bull. Brothers and sisters, may I tell you, it's time for us to get back up on the wall. It's time for us to stand back up on our place and to say the devil's done sowing, the enemy's done sowing. I'm not going to let the enemy sow anymore in the house of God. You know where else he's sown at? He's sown it in our bookstores.
Yeah, that's right.
Some of you are so hungry for the Word of God, and you go into bookstores all over, and publishers for a dollar have sown tear theology on bookshelves. You're just going in for the pure milk of the Word, and all you can find is putrid, stinking, rotten milk. And it makes you sick. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what that is? That's tares among the wheat. And then worst of all, in our congregation, there are people that are tares, and they are tares with an unbelieving mind. You get a preacher to stand up with an authority and conviction and a vision from God, deacons that will get behind him, teachers that are with him, and he'll get up and he'll say, I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know how we're going to pay for it. I don't know where we're going to put it, but I just know God has told us we need to do this, whether it's take on 1,000 missionaries or build whatever it is. And they get up and they walk out and they say, you know that we can't afford to do that. You know that we can't afford to do what he has said to do. Ladies and gentlemen, you couldn't afford to do what my 3-year-old would want you to do because you don't have enough money to buy God not 1 ounce. But the last time I checked, the God that's pumping in my heart and the God I talked to this morning and the God that walked into this pulpit with me this morning, he still owns the cattle on 1,000 hill. He still has all the hinds in the field. He still has the cedars of Lebanon and the oaks of Bashan. He's still the God that created everything and the God that made that gold and the God that made that paper and the God that made that tree from whence they got that paper and the God that made that dinosaur that died one day that got in the ground and got made oil to put in that car. I'm telling you, God made it all and God can sustain it all. Don't you ever fret. Don't you ever worry. When you got a God pumping in your heart that big, don't you listen to some tear. Don't you listen to some punk that doesn't know anything about the good God of eternity. You stand up on both of your 10 and a half with a backbone like a saw log and say, come hell, come high water, I choose to believe God. I don't care what the doctor said. I don't care what the preacher said. I don't care what the deacons say. I know God told it to me, and I believe God. You know what that is? That's a wheat in a tare world. Ladies and gentlemen, you say, preacher, I'm going to be honest with you. The one thing I'm discouraged about that I hear from the people of God, this is what they're discouraged about. Preacher, I'm so discouraged when I found out the truth about so-and-so. And a tear has discouraged you. And you are so upset because you wonder, how can a tear, how can a hypocrite be in that church? I want to encourage the people of God this morning. Your master told you 2,000 years ago it would be that way. He told you that there would be tares in the field. He told you there would be wheat, and then there would be tares. J.C. Ryle, the great writer, he said this. He said, worship where you will, trot where you may, there you will find hypocrites. It doesn't matter if you worship here or if you worship down the road, there's going to be tares among the wheat. You say, but preacher, what do we do about it? Shouldn't we get the tares up? Jesus said, leave them alone. He said, because the day that you try to start tearing the tares up, you know what you're going to do? You're going to tear the wheat out with it. If I went through here today and tried to pick out, you're a tear, you're not saved, you're a tear, you don't believe, you're a tear, you're not saved, you know what I'd do? I may mistake a tear for wheat, and I may mistake wheat for a tear. I don't know your heart. I don't know what you are and what you're not. That's not for me to figure out. My job is to tell you what God said. That's my job. It's God's job to figure out the rest. You say, I'm getting by with it. You're getting by with it today, but what you need to realize is harvest day is on the way.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, I've lived at my house now. We've lived there for 2 years, so I've watched these crops be sown. I've watched them be harvested. And one thing I've learned about those crops is when they sow them in the springtime, harvest day is the last thing on their mind. It is so far away, that's the last thing on their mind. They want to make sure the ground gets good. But what they don't realize is harvest day gets here before you know it. You say, well, it's going... Listen, my birthday comes up in just about 6 weeks. To be exact, it's November the 13th. Just to be exact. Don't forget it. I'll be in Israel on my birthday, so you can bring the gifts before or after. It doesn't matter to me. I'm fine, whichever one. I'm not a discriminator. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care if it's a big gift card or a little one. As long as it's got a cow on it that says, eat more chicken, I'm fine with whatever you give me. Doesn't matter. I'm not a discriminator. I'm happy with it. I'm good with it. I'm good. But it just seems like my birthday was just last week. Because time is a giant. That whether it seems fast or slow, it is ever running by. Harvest day is going to be here, and this is what Jesus said the harvest day is going to be like. He said the day is going to come when the reapers, not the servants, but the reapers go out there, the angels. The angels are going to go out there, and they're going to begin the process of discerning between the tares and the wheat. And they're going to take the tare, and with a sickle, they're going to cut them off. And they're going to gather all the sickle in a bushel. Here's the thing. That same tare that fooled the sower, or that's fooled the servant, is not going to fool the reaper. You may fool God today, you're not going to fool Him. You may fool me today, you won't fool God tomorrow. And He's going to gather all those up in a bundle. The Bible says He takes them over. The same tare that read its Bible like a wheat, and the same tare that prayed like a wheat. But it wasn't the real deal. Because it doesn't matter what you do, it matters what you are. And they take the tare, and they're going to cast it into the furnace of fire. You know, the day is coming, men, that in hell, every powerless, passionless preacher that stood on this earth that was not a believer in Jesus Christ, in hell, they will be the greatest evangelist that ever breathed. Because in that place, they will believe every word of the Word of God. In hell, that man or that woman that sat on the church pew that would not heed the Word of God and would not obey the command to be saved, in hell, they will hunt for every altar. They will look for every place where they can repent, but repentance will not be found because the harvest is past and the summer has ended and they are not yet saved. Ladies and gentlemen, inside of hell, every spoiler of truth that has written a godless book, a denying book down in hell, they will hunt for a piece of paper and they'll hunt for a pen where they can write down two words, and those two words are Jesus saves. But there'll be no paper in hell because it will be incinerated in the fire. There'll be no ink in hell because it will burn up and boil in the flame, and they won't have not a word to say. Honey, there'll be every godless professor that on this earth made a young man or a young woman or a preacher of the gospel doubt his faith or doubt the Word of God. In hell, you will find them by the droves looking for a classroom to stand up and say, God is God and the Bible is His Word. But there'll be no classrooms, and there'll be no blackboards, and there'll be no students there, because the only students that will listen, they're hunting and they're charring and trying to rip their way up the sides of the charred walls of the damned, and nobody will hear them. Down in hell, every unbelieving mind, they'll be saying, oh God, I have faith now. Oh God, I believe you now. But what they don't realize is they will believe, but they will believe too late, and God is not there. There is no one to put their faith in. There's no one to put their hope in, because the hell of hell is the fact that God is not, nor will He ever be there. That is the hell of hells. Hell would still be hell if there were no fire. Do you know why? Because in hell, God is not. It will be the first time in all of eternity where God's hand will not be in control. You know what he says? You want it your way? Have it. That's why there is a bottomless pit where we fall end over end. Because there is not a rock to land on. That's why in hell there is nothing but darkness, because God is light and God is not there. But on that same judgment day, hear the beat of the drum. Hear the footsteps of the reapers. The same reapers that took the tares up, watch them put their sickle in their satchel. As they come to the wheat plants now, and they lovingly and carefully take the wheat plant and tear its roots out of this earth and put it in their arms and carry it to the barn of God.
Amen.
My message is twofold today. Number one, you say, preacher, why don't we do something about the tares? Here's why. Augustine said this. He said, do not tear the tares up today, because what is a tare today may be wheat tomorrow. Because see, once I was just an old tare plant. You say, how can tare become wheat? The same God that made the chemistry that made that tare can be the same God that'll make that tare something that it is not. That is called salvation. It's not sliding from one thing to another. It's transforming from one thing to another. Can a leopard change its spots? No, but God can change the leopard. My message is twofold. Tear, watch out. Change today, because judgment day is coming. My second encouragement is to the man or the woman of God that is a member of this church, and the hypocrites have come out. The tares have come out. You say, but they're so discouraging. Listen, you can go to a Baptist church, a Lutheran church, an Episcopalian church. You can go to Walmart, Cracker Barrel. You can go to Chick-fil-A. And every one of those places, you're going to find hypocrites. But just because I see a hypocrite at Chick-fil-A doesn't mean I'm going to stop eating chicken. And just because I see a tare plant in the field of God here does not mean that I'm going to stop. Because brothers and sisters, I didn't come to see what another tare plant looks like. I came because I wanted to see what the inside of my Father's barn looks like. And the only way I'm ever going to get there is if I stay planted in the field, and on judgment day, the reapers come and take me home.
Amen.
Take heart, child of God. Judgment days are coming. Father, I've done my best to preach your word.